Good to see everyone today. Just curious, how many people haven't opened their presents yet? Patient crowd, look at that, look at that. My kids are waiting for me to get home. They're excited. They came last night and they're ready to open some gifts. But what a sweet time to come together today. And as we've gathered both last night and today, I want us to think beyond just our church, but we've gathered as people are gathering all over the state, all over the nation, all over the world to celebrate and honor Jesus. And so what a privilege to do that together on this Christmas morning. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time, this special time, as we think about everything that's happening at Christmas. And there are so many situations, there are so many different people, there are parties, there are gifts, there's just stimulation. Sometimes we get overloaded, and we thank you for this time to worship you, to be still on this morning, to draw close to you as you draw close to us. And we'll give you praise for everything you do in our hearts now. And we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Christmas reminds us what is true all year, that God pursues us, God cares about us, God draws near to us. We like to say God is near. Not only is it comforting and powerful, but it's also true. And Jesus came to this earth to bring joy, to bring humility, and to bring redemption. And this morning we're going to look at just a couple of verses. We're in Matthew chapter 2, and drop down to verse 10. And if you ever come and need a Bible, let us know. We'd be glad to give you one, but on your device, whatever you brought with you, if you want to follow along. And this situation here, the Magi are approaching Jesus. And you might think about this morning that we are approaching Jesus together. Parallel context in that way. So in chapter 2, verse 10, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. So they didn't come to the manger scene, as many people think, but the Magi then approached the house. So Jesus is already born. Mary and Joseph are in a house. And then as they see the star, as they come near to Jesus, they're overjoyed. And there is no joy like drawing near to Jesus. There's a lot of joys in life. You probably experience hundreds of joys, but nothing compares to closeness with Jesus. And situations in our life fluctuate all the time, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a consistent source of joy in our lives, so we draw near to him. And then they bow down. We live in a culture right now, it's very me-focused, me-first, and bowing down, it's the opposite of being consumed with ourselves, more of me, all about me, wrapped up in ourselves. A lot of times we're just too full of ourselves. And like this passage, we need to bow down. It's so healthy to bow down. And they worship. They worship their Redeemer, the one who's redeemed them. That kind of sounds like a stained glass word. When you hear the word redeem, think of buy back. He bought us back with his blood. You might think of rescue. They're worshiping the one who's come to rescue them. And so Jesus arrives, and Jesus arrives, and he steps into this mess. We have four kids at our home, and a lot of fun, a lot of action, and the kitchen floor kind of resembles that sometimes. And I'll just ask a question when I see a mess, like, oh, who spilled the cereal? And I'll get responses like, not my Cheerios. Those aren't my Cheerios. That's not my Cheerios. And everyone's saying, not my, oh, there's chips on the floor. Not my Cheetos. Nope, not, those aren't my Cheetos. Not my mess is basically what they're saying. And we have a few messes in our culture. Amen? And the posture today, it's easier to say, not my mess. I didn't cause that. I don't want anything to do with that. My hands are clean. Not my mess. And whenever there's a mess, there's two things we look for. Who's going to take responsibility? Is anyone going to take some responsibility? And then who's going to help? Who's going to be part of the solution? And so Jesus, did he have any responsibility? Well, we sinned, not him. The sinless one is coming into our mess, into our world, and yet he's all about a solution and helping. He comes into our world to eliminate what we can't. He's the only one who could take away death and sickness and racism and injustice and abuse and eliminate it forever. And he comes into our mess. He comes into our mess right now, and he can redeem. He can whatever mess you feel like you're in the middle of, he can come rescue, he can come redeem, but he also removes our sin for eternity. He removes our sin, the penalty of sin. We're separated from God. Jesus is one with the Father. He takes on our sin. He gives us peace and oneness with the Father. Incredible rescue. And it all starts in this manger scene, which, you know, we have manger scenes now. And a lot of times people look at the manger scene and say, oh, that's so cute. The manger wasn't really that cute. A lot of people would probably say it was a disgusting kind of manger birthplace. I've never seen a scented manger scene. I don't think they're going to make that or come out with that. So out of this manger, disgusting manger, here's this little tender infant who's maybe shivering cold, wrap him in cloth, and he is the Savior of the world. What a wonder at Christmas. What a wonder. You might find Jesus in a place you never expected to find him. Maybe you didn't expect to be here this morning, and yet there he is, this tender infant bringing salvation. Now, someone sent me this week a Family Circus cartoon. And on this cartoon, there was a picture of the family as they were picking out a tree, Christmas tree time. And, you know, some people have artificial trees. Some people like to go find one. The family was going out to find a tree, and they were looking at all these different trees. And you would think people desire a full tree with branches everywhere. But on this cartoon, one of the kids picked out a different tree. And they said, this is the tree we should get. And as they looked at this tree, there were no branches until very high up. The branches were sparse. And it was not full. And the trunk, as it was long and the branches were high, you know, the question was, well, why would we ever pick out this tree? And the answer was, because the branches are so high, there's a lot more room for more presents underneath it. Brilliant. And so with that, no, I'm not saying Christmas is all about presents. I'm not saying, you know, materialistic Christmas. I'm not saying we should go out and spend more money than we have on Christmas. Don't do those type of things. But we all desire to be loved. And one of the ways that we experience love is through a gift. And God knows this. In fact, loving is giving. You can't separate loving and giving. So this great love that God shows for us, it's going to be demonstrated through this great gift. And God knows that love communicates gifts, and he wants to give a gift at Christmas time in this manger that we will always know how much he loves us. So this special gift, his son, miraculous, he wanted to make sure we knew this gift, this son, is from the Father. Well, how would he communicate that this gift is so extraordinary? Virgin birth. Virgin birth. Who else? No, only God through a virgin birth. And you say, well, did he plan that? In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, he prophesied. He explained it. This is the sign. This is how you're going to know my gift's coming. Jesus is going to come through Mary and a virgin birth. It had to be a virgin birth as Jesus is sinless, is going to die for our sins. This gift is from God. Don't miss it for hundreds of years. Wait for it. Wait for it. The virgin birth. And here's Jesus. Also, more wonderful than words. We've just sang a lot of songs, incredible words to those songs. I don't know if you were just singing them or thinking about the words, but a lot of depth to those songs. They're all inspired from this gift and from this birth that God gave to us. And what I appreciate about Jesus, you know, when you get a gift, a lot of times you say, this is for you. And someone's going to give you a gift and say, this is for you. But God sent his son, and the gift is not just for us, but Jesus in us, for us, in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and with you forever. This gift is so relational, not just something for you, but in you, Christ in you, and with you forever. So we're humbled by this incredible gift. And how do the Magi respond? Look at verse 11, and here's the response. So they bowed down in worship, then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. Rich symbolism through these gifts. That probably qualify for a bad pun too. Rich symbolism through these gifts, and these gifts have such meaning. Jesus is your king. There's the gold. Gold is for a king. And people are saying, King Herod, you know, Herod the Great. The Magi are saying, no, not Herod. Jesus is the real king. He's the King of Kings. And then also we read that they have incense. Incense is linked to God, deity. When you think about the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, they actually had an altar of incense that was about 36 inches high, made of acacia wood, and morning and evening, they would offer this incense, its aroma. You might also have read in the scriptures how incense is a picture of our prayers going up to heaven, but it was continual incense and offering, acknowledging who God is and incense and deity together. And then also, we realize that there's myrrh. And when you think about myrrh, this spice, when Jesus was crucified, they offered him vinegar mixed with myrrh. Myrrh was used to relieve pain. Also, when Jesus was buried, in the embalming, the spices that were brought, myrrh was brought. So there's a link here, as myrrh was given to Jesus, with his death, his coming death. It was a foreshadowing, because you think, okay, gold and incense, got it, but myrrh? It was a foreshadowing in this gift of his sacrifice. And that foreshadowing rang true in a couple other contexts. Remember when the angel appeared to Joseph and said, you are to give him the name Jesus, meaning the Lord saves, because he will save his people from their sins. So even at his birth, his father, Joseph, was told about this salvation and sacrifice. And then Simeon was another person in the Bible who was in the temple. He was able to pick up the Lord Jesus and praise God. And then he told Mary, Jesus' mother, he said, there's your own soul is going to be pierced. Who says that? What midwife or doctor says that to a mom that just delivered? You know, here's your wonderful baby, and by the way, there's going to be a sword. It's going to pierce your soul too. So there's this reality that, okay, his birth and his death. You see, if there's no Christmas, there's no Easter. And if there's no Easter, Christmas isn't that special. And Christmas and Easter are linked, and we have the birth and the death and the resurrection. They're all tied together. And so on one hand, so simple. On the other hand, incredibly profound. So simple that, you know, when I asked my kids, as Mark just asked the kids here, you know, Christmas, whose birthday is that? I asked my kids this week, and they said, Jesus' birthday. And then one of my kids asked a question, and you never really know what kids are going to do. Amen? And so one of the kids asked me, well, how old is Jesus? I said, well, about 2,000 years. And he said, Jesus is 2,000 years old? Well, actually, a little more. We're in the year 2016, and we say A.D., after the Master. So he's even a little older than Jesus is older than 2,000 years? And then I started thinking theologically. And I was like, okay, wait a second. Well, Jesus, he always existed. He always existed. Yeah, there was never a time he didn't exist. He always existed. He created everything, but then also he was born a little over 2,000 years ago, and you can see them doing the math on this. And it's like, well, you see, because he's God, but then he came to earth, and that was a little over 2,000 years ago, but he's fully God all the time, and he's fully human, and I'm explaining all this, and let's just sing happy birthday to Jesus. Let's just do that. Simple and profound. The simplicity, how much God loves us, profound in who Jesus really is. And at every age, whether we're 3 or 33 or 93, we just keep getting more of the scripture and more of Jesus and more depths. But then there's also the beauty and the simplicity, the relationship, the nearness. God is near. And so as we're thinking through Christmas, we, in this last year, were helping my parents clear out their dirt room, which is below kind of their basement. You know, who goes down there? And we're thinking, okay, they wanted to clear it out, so we're helping. And what did we discover? It was like a time capsule. These two gifts right here, this is from when I was a kid at Christmas time. I didn't know Jesus until college. I didn't read the Bible until college. And I would say, as far as being a kid in Christmas, this kind of summed it up. I mean, right here I've got Mattel Electronics Baseball. I press those buttons so many times, you can't even read words around those buttons. And then over here, football. Not football one, but football two. And so these are just like, yeah, some football one fans are booing me right now. These right here, I mean, you could put me in a room and hours later, I'd be doing just fine. I don't even know if I needed food. I just, you know, I got these two things going. And now I look back and it's like over 35 years later, I'm just like, these, I don't even think I could get $5 on eBay for these. I showed them to my kids and it's kind of like, we got way better games than that, Dad. And it's just interesting how some things in the moment are so important to you, and it's just kind of a reminder that Christmas really isn't about things, but about people. And that was 35 years ago, and then I started thinking, well, moving forward, 35 years from now, what's going to be important? 35 years from now, where do you think you're going to be? What are you going to be doing? And it puts into perspective that, you know, maybe the house being clean and the food coming out just right and the outfit matching and everything else will get worked up about Christmas. You know, maybe it's not really that important. Because what's going to be important 35 years from now is our relationships with people around us. Relationships with family and friends and relationships with Jesus. That's going to be really important 35 years from now. So if we know that, that gives us a perspective that maybe that changes some things at our Christmas time and how we love each other and treat each other and where our focus is during this time. So God's generosity, see, it's like a chain. He's generous to show the star. The Magi go to the star. Then they come close to Jesus. And then they have gold and incense and myrrh. And they bow down in worship. You know what worship is? Worship is our response to who Jesus is. Worship is our response to his greatness. And they bring gold and incense and myrrh. And I don't think as they travel home, they're saying, oh, we gave a little too much myrrh. We should have kept some incense for ourselves. Oh, I mean, they're worshiping Jesus. And so much more than gold or incense or myrrh, this is what they bring to their worship, devotion and affection. Do you bring your affection to Jesus, your devotion to him? And so they worship him and they bring this gold. And then as you read the next verse, you know what happens to Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus? They've got a bolt. Leave the country. Why? This man named Herod, who's really jealous of Jesus, he's wiping out all the boys who are two and under. Can you imagine that? So they have to flee to Egypt. And where did they get the money to go to Egypt and be sustained in a foreign land? That gold that was just given to them went a long way, timely gift. Now, I don't think the Magi even had that on their radar, but isn't it just like God and his generosity? He's generous to us, and then when we care about each other and we serve and help each other, it's like God uses your generosity in ways that you don't even know, and he's woven this all together and fleeing to Egypt and gold and Magi and how he loves people from all nations, and generosity is linked, and it's overflowing, and it is so healthy. All part of God's plan, and what we really realize is that God is the source of all generosity. He's the source of everything you have, all generosity. And at Christmas time, I mean, this is really the question at Christmas time. God, how are you so good to us? How are you so good? The Magi, Mary, Joseph, us. How are you so good that you would send your son, provide, care for us, be near to us? If we really understand Christmas, we're asking, how are you so good to us, God? And as we think about that, we affirm, you are that good, God. And you know what the Bible says about Mary? She pondered these things in her heart. You ponder these things about Christmas in your mind, in your heart, as you start to process these different pieces of Christmas, because Christmas is a realization that God has your best interest in mind. God has your best interest in mind. Last night, my kids were right over here, and one of them was coloring during the time, and the person came up to me behind them after the service and said, you know, I couldn't tell if your daughter or if your kids, you know, if they're all listening or they're coloring or where they were, but then you said, you know, God has your best interest in mind. And one of your kids says, "That's right, Dad, that's right." So then I knew they were really listening. But for that to sink in, God has your best interest in mind. You can really trust him. And the Magi are going to draw close to Jesus, but it's not like they're done. The Magi draw close to Jesus, and then next steps, growth. What do you want, Lord? And they're listening to God. Here's the powerful truth about Christmas, that Jesus is drawing you in to a life of daily grace, depth with Jesus now. It's not just Christmas and done. J.I. Packer says this: there's a difference between knowing God and knowing about God. When you truly know God, you have energy to serve him, boldness to share him, and contentment in him. Huge difference between knowing God and knowing about God. Knowing God is the goal, not just about God and facts at Christmas time, although that can be a starting point and a launching pad, but it's really to know him. So what are some next steps? I'm going to close with five options. The Magi had some next steps. They're listening to God. Consider one of these. Which one stands out for you? The first one, is Jesus your main focus? When he's your main focus, you're going to have the joy of the Lord. Has the joy of the Lord been missing? Is he your main focus from day to day? Is he your treasure? In your marriage, is he the center? So a shift today, maybe to make Jesus the main focus. He just hasn't been as much. You've had distractions and other things. That's one. Here's a second one. We've been reading God's Word today, and God's Word is living and active. It's powerful. I want to encourage you as another option to get a study Bible or a life application Bible. There's NIV study Bibles and life application Bibles. You can get them online. I mean, how many hours left in Christmas shopping, right? 6 hours, 7 hours. You can get it for yourself, or you could get it for someone else. When I became a Christian in college, a guy named Brian gave me a study Bible. I didn't grow up reading the Bible. This had notes, explained context, history, answered, you know, so many questions I had. And that was the first time I really got into God's Word, when I had a study Bible, an application Bible. And so I was able then to give one to my grandpa and my grandma. They came to know the Lord in their 70s. You never know when someone's going to turn to the Lord. And I gave them study Bibles, and they started to get in the Word. And my grandpa, he was just eating it up, like 6 bookmarks. He was just saying, like, "I know I'm going to go to be with God soon. I just want to know God more before I go to be with him." So buying an NIV study Bible, life application Bible for yourself or for somebody else, that could be a next step for you. Here's a third one. Maybe you've been doing it alone, trying to walk with God and doing it alone, trying to be tough, independent, doing it alone. I want to say this. Next Sunday, if you're wondering about the church here, and we'd just be thrilled if you made this your church home, part of this church family, is what we say here. There's lots of other good churches, though, and you could go somewhere else. But to have a church family and a church home, next Sunday, January 1st, we're going to be walking through vision for this next year and where we're going. So if you're kind of wondering, hey, what's this church all about? Where are things going? Just come next Sunday. We're putting things on the table. And then as you get involved here, we have life groups. I talked to Pastor Tyler. I said, you know, how many life groups? 44 life groups right now in all sorts of different nights and locations. And so choosing one of those groups, that's a community. This is a bigger group. You're not really today going to talk about life and, you know, pray with somebody or, you know, maybe get to know someone that well. But when you're in a life group, you have that community and you're looking out for each other. So that's an option. It's a next step, getting connected and not doing it alone. Here's the fourth one. Let's say today you didn't really want to be here. To be honest, I mean, you're here because family, tradition, honored you're here, honored you came. But let me say it this way. When I first heard about Jesus, it was a year before I followed him. And what I did was I found one person, his name was Mike, and I could tell, like, he was authentic, he was real, and his life kind of matched his words. And I just started to ask him all kinds of questions. So my encouragement to you then would be to find one Jesus person or someone that you respect their faith, and then just start to ask them some questions you've been thinking about or wrestling with, things don't make sense, you don't agree with. Just start finding a little more out about Jesus. And if you have an open heart and you just say, "God, if you're real, show me who you are, Jesus. If you're real, show me." He's going to do some pretty incredible things. So if you're just open up to say, if you're real, Jesus, I want to know. I want to know who you are. Then watch what God will do. He'll meet you in that searching and in that question. Fifth one, this year's coming up, 2017. Some of you, for this year, there's a radical assignment. To do some things, to use your gifts, to go some places that you've never done before. The Magi traveled hundreds of miles. They had never done this before. But they knew their name was on it. And for some of you, this is going to be a year like none other. And God has asked you to do something radical. And it's time to say yes. And I don't know what that area of the gifting or what you have, what you're offering. I don't know the details, but you just sense that this is going to be a unique year. And your name's on it. And it's time to step up. That could be your next step. So there's five things to think through. The Magi, step by step, near to God. God is near. And when we get near to Jesus, he shows us those next steps walking with him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this Christmas time. We're humbled. What a gift. We don't ever want to lose the wonder of Christmas, your birth, Jesus, your death, your resurrection. And together we worship you. We thank you that we can do that together, but also individually. And Lord, as we draw near to you, we thank you that you loved us before we ever loved you. You're patient with us. We rebel. Your kindness draws us back to return to you. And you pursue us. Even when we have walls up, you pursue us. And we thank you for that reminder at Christmas time. God, I pray as we've thought through five possible next steps, I pray for each person here in the walk with you and saying yes to that next step. And I also pray, as we want to celebrate and honor you, that if anyone here doesn't know you and is ready today to put their trust in you, I pray they would make that decision today, the start of a relationship that's eternal. And no one else can make that decision for you, and I'm not trying to pressure you, but if you're ready to say, you know, I'm not into religion, but this relationship with Jesus, I know he's died for my sins, he's paid the full price, he's risen, he's returning, but I want to be in his family. I want to be forgiven and accepted. You can put your trust in him today, receive that gift, and follow Jesus. God, we're here to worship you. We're here to bow down, to give you honor, not be consumed with ourselves, but instead, Jesus, celebrate who you are, that you came near, that you are near. We give you praise in your name. Amen.